Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. We have an online feature on our webpage today, a New York Yankees anagram contest in honor of the World Series win. Acronym contest. Acronym. Make up an acronym for the word Yanks or the word Matsui. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to join in. Now, some of you are real Yankee fans who are exuberant and making those kinds of things up. Some of you are being snarky about the whole enterprise, and that's okay. You can join our New York Yankees acronym contest at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Make up an acronym for the word Yanks or the word Matsui, and we'll read some of the winning entries tomorrow during the ticker tape parade. Now, every year here in New York, the group Human Rights First gives out awards to human rights activists from around the world doing vital and often dangerous work. Many years, some of those activists come into our studios while they are here, and right now we are honored to have two brand new awardees in New York for the Human Rights First dinner. They are Elena Milashina from Russia. As a leading investigative journalist, Russia's most prominent independent newspaper employs Elena, and she explores the truth about human rights abuses and widespread government corruption there. Despite Russia's attempts to silence its critics and hide abuses, Elena remains outspoken, drawing international attention to the government's crackdown on civil society and gross and massive human rights abuses in the Northern Caucasus. In fact, it was her colleague and mentor, Anna Politkovskaya, who was killed in 2006, as we've talked about on this show and as many people around the world know, a death that is suspected of being linked to the government, and yet Elena carries on at the same publication. Also with us is Danielle Bekele from Ethiopia. And in the ever-shrinking space for freedom of expression and association in that country, Danielle Bekele has faced heavy-handed government repression as a prominent anti-poverty activist and human rights lawyer, says Human Rights First. So Danielle and Elena, welcome to WNYC. Thank you very much,
Brian,
for coming in.
Thank
Hi.
You very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us here.
Danielle, tell us about your work first. Where are you based and what do you do? Most of our listeners know almost nothing about Ethiopia.
Yes, thank you for having me here on this program. But
let me correct something first. I'm saying, for some reason, I've been saying the name of
the Human Rights First.
Human Rights Organization. It's Human Rights Watch.
Yes. Yes.
It's Human Rights Watch. Human Rights Watch. The group Human Rights Watch has provided our guests for this segment, Danielle.
Yes, thank you very much. I was just going to point that out. Yes, I work in the area of promotion of human rights in Ethiopia. And you can probably consider me as someone who represents both the good news and the bad news from Ethiopia. The good news being in Ethiopia, since 1995, we have a reasonably good constitution in place, which should be considered as a powerful foundation to secure protection for basic human rights. The bad news is the huge mismatch between the rhetorics in the constitution and the reality on the ground. Up until 2005, where Ethiopia had probably the first ever truly contested multi-party election, we have had a gradually growing and expanding democratic space in Ethiopia. But very unfortunately, the results of that election was disputed in 2005, which resulted in electoral protest, which was brutally suppressed and led to the deaths of hundreds of people, and thousands more were rounded up and arrested and thrown into jail. Since then, we have a constantly deteriorating human rights situation in Ethiopia. And this is a huge concern about a narrowing down of civil and political space in Ethiopia.
And what's the extent of human rights abuse by the government there? Different governments are different in these respects. Sometimes it's just limitations on freedom of speech. Sometimes it's jailings and murders. What are we talking about in the case of your work?
we're talking about activists being harassed, being arrested, being thrown into jail, and the freedom of expression and freedom of association being in great danger.
Elena, what have you reported on recently that the rest of the world should know from Russia?
Well, probably people who listen to your radio knows Russia and knows the President Putin, who is not president anymore, but still the most powerful person in Russia. And for the two terms he took the office, the tremendous changes with Human Rights Watch, with Freedom of Press, took place in Russia. And actually, right now, we don't have freedom of speech at all, freedom of elections. But we have a lot of abuses towards the human rights, and a lot of people suffer from it. But I work in newspaper, and that's the great example of what I'm saying right now, because for 10 years, President Putin... For two terms of President Putin that was in power, president of Russia, we lost five our journalists. And it's not that they
what do you mean
died
lost?
During the job. They
yes.
were killed. They were killed, and no investigation, nobody was punished for it. Nobody got to jail. And I have our... Actually, I can say that the orders of killing our journalists were issued by Russian politicians. And that's a Russian policy right now, not to get people in prison, not to scare them, just to kill them. Because it's easy way to decide problems with the people who still criticizing there to criticize Russian government for what he's doing. And the thing is, I'm very sorry to say about it, but looks to me that the high prices on oil that we had all these years that Putin took the office, and all this huge amount of money that Russian government had, and that made Russian people, some of them, the richest people in the world, it just people was paying attention on it more than what happened actually in Russia, what happened with people, with human rights. And now we have at the end that the policy is just to kill, and nobody cares, and the Russian government just always say, well, we will investigate, we will take it under control, and it means nothing. It means that no investigation will be held on these murders. So just my point to be here, my message is, if American government cares actually about Russia and want to change the policy or the relationship with Russia, it should always have in mind that the main question in Russia is the Human Rights Watch, is the freedom of speech, is democracy, because Russia is far away from democracy we had in the 90s. It's just far away from this achievement that we've made during Yeltsin's times, yeah? And if American government, European Union let Russia go this way, they will get another Soviet Union, actually. It will be a huge problem.
Elena Milashina from Russia and Danielle Bekele from Ethiopia, recipients of this year's 2009, I guess this year would be 2009, the Alison DeForge Award for Extraordinary Activism being given out here in New York by Human Rights Watch. Danielle, did you want to react to something Elena was just saying?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Daniel is too modest. He was in prison himself. He experienced a huge pressure on him, and he should talk a little bit about it in personal, because it's very, it's not like in Ethiopia they put people in prison and don't kill them. It's easier. No, it's very hard, and it's a huge problem there too. I'm sorry, Daniel.
Thank you, Elena. Yeah. Yeah, I personally have been through some difficult times. But in just to follow up on what Elena was saying about the role of the role for America and Americans in the United States government, I wish to say a few words in line with that. The U.S. government is the largest donor to the Ethiopian government. Ethiopia is one of the big donor money recipient countries, and the United States government is the most important political ally for the Ethiopian government. So I think it is right to say that this gives this creates both a leverage and a responsibility for the United States government to stand in defense of basic human rights. We are really in a situation in Ethiopia where there is a pattern of a constantly declining protection for human rights, and Ethiopia's international partners who supported the growth and development and expansion of a democratic process should stop looking the other way when things are going in the wrong direction. We are seriously concerned because the United States government is sort of turning a blind eye to the human rights situation in Ethiopia, and we're very much hoping that there will be a real change of policy with the Obama administration.
Does the United States give money to Ethiopia in search of a particular outcome or policy by the Ethiopian government?
Well, I think it is Ethiopia is considered as an ally for the United States government, particularly in the war against terror. But Ethiopia and America are also good friends and have a relationship for a long time now. And it is very good that the United States government is a partner in the development process in Ethiopia. But I think the development process we're looking in Ethiopia is one which is based on protection of human rights as well. So the development outcome we want to see in Ethiopia is one where poverty is addressed, but at the same time, rights are protected.
Elena, in your situation, from you, the way you described what's happening in the country now with respect to journalists, are you afraid for your life?
Well, this year, this particular year, for 9 months, the 6 people have been killed, and all of them are my friends. They are journalists or human rights activists. So when they killed Anna Politkovskaya in 2006, it looked like for us that it just unique situation and won't repeat anymore. And it seems like it because the West, the America, the European Union, Latin America, the whole world was standing for her and just showing us how we should react on this awful event. And it felt like it won't repeat. But right now, this year, it was an unbelievable killing of so many people. I really knew personally. They were my friends, close friends. So, of course, I understand, and people actually understand and hear when I'm talking about it. They're always asking, so you are going to be next? It's just not just a joke. It's just a reality. I understand that. Me, people who work on Human Rights Watch in Russia, or any other human rights organization, they are next.
And I guess the word isn't getting out, because when Anna was killed, it was big news. Now
yeah.
These other
yes.
ones who
yes.
you refer to, maybe 5 others, we are not talking about this in the U.S. media.
Yeah, it's strange because the more they kill people, the more it should be in use. The more it should concern American government or whatever government in the world. Because what's going on, guys? You're deciding your problems with the people who criticize the power this way. It's not acceptable. But the more people they kill in Russia, the more people the less people in the world talk about it, it's just frustrating.
Sometimes the more commonplace something is, even something completely horrifying, then the less outraged outsiders get by it. I think it's an unfortunate part of human nature. Before you both go, is this the first time you've met each other coming to New
yes.
York for the Human Rights
yes.
Watch
yes.
Award?
Yes, it was such a
you
pleasure
know what?
To meet Elena.
It just makes me, I mean, such people like Daniel, when we come together, meet to each other, it makes me not less afraid of what I'm doing because I understand that in even the nastiest time, in In the country, my country, and other countries, but there always will be people like Daniel, like Anna Politkovska, like Natasha Stimirov, who was killed this summer, like Maharbek Aushev, who was killed 2 weeks ago, Maksharip Aushev. A lot of people, they still, if they kill people, it means the people exist, and it just makes my work easier.
And Daniel, what's it like for you to be with these other activists and Human Rights Watch award winners, and what do you find you all have in common?
It's hugely energizing. It's hugely it's something that gives me more confidence, more energy to continue to do the work. It's such a pleasure and more courage to meet people like Elena, a friend like Elena from Russia. And the work we are all doing is so important. And America, do not discount the importance of solidarity for all these efforts all over the world.
Danielle Bekele from Ethiopia, Elena Milashina from Russia are recipients of the 2009 Alison DeForge Award for Extraordinary Activism. They are here in New York to receive that award at a dinner put on by Human Rights Watch. Thank you both very
Thank
much.
You, Thank
Good
you very much
for
having
us here.
Yes.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay tuned.